Not this part, though. You know, in the business, they call it stunt casting. So, you know, Rocky's not here today. He'll be back on Monday. Well, yeah, he's a big man. He needs two people to fill his shoes.
He handpicked us, right?
So, no. I went deep into the Rolodex.
I think I was third on the list, from what I understand.
I went deep into the Rolodex and called two of my old partners. Bob the producer, Wildman Walker, welcome to the Eddie and Rocky Show.
Hello. Thank you.
The band is back together.
Yeah. That's what it was funny because I just put it on Facebook last night thinking, yeah, it's kind of cool that the three of us are back together again here for a day.
Yeah.
And people were like, look, let me tell people, don't expect much.
I know.
That's what I said. I'm like, now I feel like the weight of the world's on my shoulders. But it's great to see you guys, and it's great to work together again.
Thank you. Same thing. I put mine on Facebook, and people are saying, is Shecky going to be there? Are you going to do a eulogy?
Yeah. Right. So, Wild, what have you been doing? I know every once in a while you check in with Willie.
Pretty much just, you know, semi-retired doing with this pandemic issue. You know, there's not much you can do. Right. I am back doing PA for Seven Hills School, so I've been doing their soccer games, girls and boys, and I'm doing Indian Hill football. So that's keeping me busy. And then, I'm going to do Indian Hill basketball too. I got 16 games I can do basketball this year too. So I'll be doing Indian Hill basketball, Seven Hills basketball. And then when the January turns, and I'll be back to doing lacrosse and baseball for Seven Hills. Hopefully we can still get out, but pretty much just taking it easy, man. You know?
And you were on Facebook 24/7.
Yeah, that's my connection with the
I go to bed
world.
And you've posted something. And I get up. You've posted something.
I know. It's like that's my connection with the outside world. That's it. Other than that, I don't go outside. I went outside yesterday.
Be careful with that song.
You know, I've been out a few times to some outdoor concerts down at Riverfront Live, the old Annie's. I've gone down there because it's really good for social distancing. So I've been down there for that. Yeah. But, you know, a couple times down there with the MVP.
I know you like the you love the concerts.
Oh, yeah. Always have, man. Always have.
Well, we're going to keep the flow going on our usual Friday
thing here. And you're
looking
burly, by the
Rocky
way.
Thank you, buddy.
I got a good grab for you later.
With Rocky and I. So that means we're talking to Richard Skinner right now from Local 12. Skinny, welcome to this weirdness.
Man, you pulled out Legends Day on me here, Eddie. That's pretty awesome.
Hi, Richard.
I just...
Hey, Richard.
Geez. So, Skinny, yeah. I was going to text you last night and go, look, I've got these two guys, so.
Listen, you got 3 hours of plenty of material ahead of you, my man.
Right. Well, that's what I told my wife. I was like, you know, at the very least, it's going to be a quick 3 hours. So
it'll be a good 3 hours.
So let's talk about, and Wild, you can speak to this as well, Skinny, about the Reds tonight. I mean, it is, I want to say it's all but locked to playoff position, but, you know, man, I hate to jinx them.
Yeah, as goofy as it sounds, they can actually get swept, which I don't think is going to happen, mind you, and still get in. They need some help. But, yeah, you got a chance to take care of things maybe as early as tonight with a win and a couple things happening behind them. And then the good part is you got Luis Castillo in reserve. You got Trevor Bauer in reserve. I mean, if it goes to Sunday and Trevor Bauer has the baseball, that cat ain't losing. He just isn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You saw him Wednesday. That guy with the ball in his hands right now, I'm telling you, in a short series with the way these guys are pitching, you give me Sonny Gray and Bauer and Luis Castillo, I don't think anybody wants to face that group.
Now, the Twins are really playing for something, too, because the AL Central race is awfully tight. And the Twins, Richard, I'm sure you're well aware, I think they've only lost five times at home this year, maybe six.
Yeah, they're really good.
They're almost impossible to beat at home. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
The good part, though, for them is, and I don't think they've set their rotation beyond tonight, because I think based on tiebreakers, if they win tonight and the White Sox lose, I think they clinch the Central. I think that's correct. So you may even, as a Reds fan, get a little break there if they can clinch the Central the next 2 days, try to get their rotation in order for their playoff, first-round playoff situation. So I don't want the Reds to lose tonight. Nobody does, because you want them to take control of it themselves.
Yes.
But maybe a scenario where a loss tonight coupled with a White Sox win might actually be beneficial.
Yeah, that backing in stuff, I never did like it, Richard. And a lot of times when you hope they back in, and I know the Bengals were part of that years ago, it never works out. So they need to win outright.
Agreed. And part of it, too, is continue the momentum, right? I mean, they just keep winning series after series after series. And while that six-game winning streak got them back into this, from that point forward, they've won series, and it hasn't had to be anything special. It hasn't had to be a 10-game winning streak to get them in. Just keep winning series. And, again, I like my chances. You got Tyler Mahle, who's throwing really well, followed by Castillo and Trevor Bauer. That's a pretty good group to throw out there for a three-game set.
And we might, and Reds fans might just get lucky for the first time in team history with Trevor Bauer winning the Cy Young Award. I mean, people can't. There's a lot of people don't even know that the Reds have never had a Cy Young Award winner. If Trevor Bauer doesn't win,
I just saw that not too long ago. I did not know.
There might be have to be a Senate investigation. When you look at his numbers, how does he not win the Cy Young, Richard?
No, he does. I think he absolutely does. In fact, Wild, it's funny you say that. I was doing a podcast with my guy Rick Boring, my normal podcast. He brought that up, and it was one of those ones for me where I went, you know, that's right. They've never had a Cy Young winner, have they? And it's incredible to think that that's the case. But, I think people long ago have gotten over the whole wins and losses things. I think you saw that with Jacob deGrom either last year or the year before, where he had about a 500 record and won the Cy Young because every other pitching category he was dominant in, and that's been the way for Trevor Bauer. And I honestly think that Wednesday game might have sewn it up, and if he comes back and follows that up on Sunday – I just don't see how he does not win the Cy Young. He's been the best pitcher in the National League for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he was just dealing, and he's even come out and said he likes to pitch on 3 days rest. I mean, according to his physical training, that he said, I can pitch on 3 days rest. And I mean, that guy, he's got some heart. I'll give you that. He's got some heart.
Yeah, no, and it's funny. Somebody asked me the same thing about game Wednesday. Could you compare it to any Reds pitching performance in recent years? I said, honestly, I'm going to have to go back to the 90 World Series and Jose Rio, the last time somebody pitched a meaningful game like that and just owned the game. And that's a long time, but that also speaks to what Trevor Bauer did Wednesday and what he's done all year.
All right, boys, how about our Bengals? I mean, it goes, you know, the talk has been great about the Bengals. As far as quarterbacking goes, as far as the offense goes, they just need to get in gear, man.
Right.
We talked to a handful of veterans on Friday. We talked to Von Bell, talked to Josh Bynes, and the night before after the game, talked to DJ Reaver. All those guys were on playoff teams where they came from. And all of them talked the right talk of drawing a line in the sand, of putting their foot down and demanding accountability from everybody and being more attention to detail. And that's great. I think that all that stuff's well said. A lot of guys have followed up with the same kind of conversation, but then go win the game on Sunday. You know what? Turn that into making a play. And, you know, some of it is you equate it to the Reds. Trevor Bauer talks the talk, and he backs it up. Mike Moustakas has talked about, hey, I've been in playoff races. This is nothing new to me. What does Mike Moustakas do the other night? It's a three-run homer. It's good to talk the talk. It's time to back that up. I think you'll see a good performance Sunday. That's still a tall task to go to Philly and win. They've been awful the first two games. I can't imagine they're awful all season long.
Yeah, from the defensive side of the ball, too, they've got to stop the run. If they don't stop the run, they're not going to beat anybody. They've got to stop the run.
Exactly.
And there's no protection for Burrows. None.
Yeah, he's done a good job of buying some time, and some of that goes back to they haven't run the ball very well themselves either, and they need to, both those sides, stop the run for sure and get their running game going. You can't have Joe Burrow drop back 61 times. It's just that's a big ask for a quarterback.
That was brutal, man. Come on, you send a rookie back 61 times? That's insane.
Yeah, you're just asking for trouble there. He's just been athletic enough to get away with it and really not take a lot of big hits. But eventually, you stand back there 60 times in a game, somebody's going to hit you.
Yeah, you mentioned all the players, Richard, on the defensive side, talking about we need to do this and we need to do that. And I was reading a lot of Jeff Hobson's articles on Bengals.com this morning. And, you know, I agree with what they're saying. But, again, it comes down to making a play, you know.
Yeah,
making a play.
Yeah, it's all good to say it, and I think it's great that you can tell that there's guys that are not used to losing. I mean, Burrow's made a point of he's never lost back-to-back games.
Yeah.
T. Higgins made a point. Last time he lost back-to-back games was in high school basketball. These other guys I mentioned come from playoff teams, and so it's not acceptable to them to lose. But the way you really go about it is go make a play. Go bring somebody to the ground. Go make a tackle. Go make an interception. Force a fumble. And so I want to see them back up the talk. The talk was great. I thought it was really refreshing. But then you got to back it up with a win.
Well, you go to Philly where the Carson Wentz got booed by the laugh track.
Great.
Even in Philly. Yeah.
Does that surprise you, though?
It's Philly, man. They booed Santa Claus.
Right.
Carson Wentz, you know that's coming. If you're going to be as bad as he was throwing interceptions, you're going to get booed by the soundtrack guy.
All right, Skinny. Thanks so much, buddy.
Hey, guys, enjoy the show.
Good talking with you, Skinny.
Yeah.
You too. Take care.
All right. Richard Skinner, Local 12.
Hey, you know, you asked me what I've been doing, and I the first thing I should have said, I'm writing a book.
I know you're writing,
Yeah, it'll be out in November just in time for the Christmas season. 14 chapters. There's that number again.
I've seen the first chapter.
I know you did. 350 pages. Lots of pictures, Ed. Lots of pictures.
You know what? You better treat me well. That's all I know. Come on, man. Rob, what's going on?
Boys?
I'm here.
Is that a cookbook, Wild Man?
Bob the producer and Wild Man
Walker. How'd you know,
Rob?
Yeah.
And Bob, I just have one thing to say to you.
What's that?
You suck, Biker Bob.
Oh, I know. I can't deny it. It's well documented.
Oh, the memories. Yeah. Great to hear you guys.
This is
from the UC Health Traffic Center. What's that?
No, it's fun.
Okay, I totally agree. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health is proud to...
Back with Eddie on the Eddie and Rocky Show. Rock out today, so I called two old buddies, Bob the producer and Wild Man Walker, to fill those big shoes.
My schedule was open.
I answered your call in the first ring.
Absolutely. So, guys, it's funny, we were talking about, it is sad, but it was funny that it just so happened. We were talking about this situation before we went on the air. Tom Brenneman has resigned from the Reds and Fox.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'd ask if you'd heard any more about that.
This is brand new news.
Well, we knew that Fox had put him out the door.
And, right.
And the Reds had, like, suspended him.
But had pretty much made it clear unacceptable. But
right.
And part of his declaration here, my family and I have decided that I'm going to step away from my role as the television voice of the Reds. I would like to thank the Reds fans, and the LGBTQ community for the incredible support and grace they've shown my family and me through this great city, yada, yada, yada. I've been in the profession for 33 years. It's my hope and intention to return. If I'm given that opportunity, I will be a better broadcaster and a much better person. So we will see what happens with Tom. He's stepping away.
We've all been there where a mic was on, which we didn't realize, and it's just luck on what happens, right?
Well, one of the things that happened to you,
right.
a guy who was producing your bit, mm-hmm. you had screwed it up. As I recall.
A number of times.
Yes.
Alcohol may have been a factor. And then finally, out of frustration, I said something that I didn't want to go on the air. And he, by mistake, put the wrong thing in.
Right.
And that's what aired.
I felt bad because it cost him his job.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason it didn't cost me is because what I said wasn't on an air studio. It was in a production room.
Well, see, I feel bad for Tommy in regard to, you know... People always say, yeah, it's always a live mic. And I get that. And the three of us have been around live mics for our whole career.
Yep.
I mean, I worked with you for over 22 years. I worked with you for over 18 years. And there was some pretty heavy duty discussion going on when we were off the air.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
And if there was ever one of those mics would have been live, we'd all be dead men.
I know.
In the profession.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you just...
Well, and then back in the day when we were all together on the Dawn Patrol, a lot of our guests could have kind of strong language. We'd have dancers.
Well, I mean, the comics and stuff like right. that, and you really had to calm them down.
It was a different era, too, back then, you know, with what you could get away with it is today. Ugh, man. But that live mic will kill you. You know, it will.
Well, the stuff that we got away with in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Would never fly in a million years right now.
No
way in hell. I mean, we'd be off the air immediately.
We were lucky it flew then.
Huh. Well, I mean, but it was allowed. Mm-hmm. We only, you know, we went up to the limit. We never went past the limit. And, and here we stand today. But, Tommy, best of luck to you. Best of luck to your family and much love because it's going to be a long, hard road.
It is.
I mean, I think we can all agree on that.
And what I remember when that happened, I was just saying that the timing pretty much sucked because I think that's when Marty's DVD called How We Looking, they were just showing it that night.
Was that the thing where they had the drive-in?
Yeah.
Out of the starlight.
I forgot about that.
Right. And that's so this happened the same night.
All right.
How crazy is that? And I remember watching the ball game, you know, and like I had been on Facebook for 15 minutes, and I finally picked it up, and I said something about Tom Brennan and just said something. I went, oh, no. So then I started searching, and I called somebody, and they said, hey, it's on Twitter. Yeah. And I listened to it on Twitter. I don't mind.
He got ate alive on Twitter.
Oh, no. I heard the New York Post, you know, is still roasting.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing when we were talking about the 90s that wasn't to anybody's advantage, if the slip-up, because it was all on social. No, there was no social media.
Yeah, there, so well, that's the other social media will kill you, too. That's terrible.
It's me, Eddie, with my old friends, Bob the Producer and Wild Man Walker. We've got the news now. News Radio 700 WLW. Back with Eddie, Rocky gone today, so I called on my old friends, Wild Man Walker and Bob the Producer.
Hello.
And
he answered the call.
And I'm loving this, that our old buddy Josh Sneed from Cincy Shirts has put out a shirt. He texted me last night and goes, I've got a great idea for a shirt about this. I was like, dude, it's just going to be a show. But I love the thing, and we will call it henceforth, this show, the Dusk Patrol.
Yeah.
Because it was the old Dawn Patrol. And he's got a limited edition shirt.
Wow.
And some of the proceeds are going to go to Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Greater Cincinnati.
Right,
so
great.
Check it out on their website. It's pretty funny.
Well, I mean, Ed, I mean, I think he found out when he started looking at all the comments on your page and Bob's page and my page, that people still miss us. They still love us, which is great. You know, it's overwhelming. I mean, if that doesn't make you feel good, I don't know what will.
We haven't worked together in how long, guys? About 12 years?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, and my last day, by coincidence, was the same one as Wildman's.
Right.
It was 2011, September, what was it, 16th or something? 2011.
I don't remember the day. I know it was
almost 10 years now.
It's right after the fireworks,
Is that right? Because I don't remember when
it was.
Right
after the fireworks, yeah.
Yep.
Wasn't it cool, the fireworks, though?
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch.
Me neither. I haven't.
I'm not watching fireworks on TV, sorry. That does nothing for me.
Well, that's the thing, and that sucked, be honest with you guys. I mean, because we all know how cool that was. And everybody listening, obviously. Yeah. You know, there's nothing like being on the riverfront or...
Nothing like it.
If you're perched on, I don't care, up on... Shoot, Price Hill or wherever, Mount Adams, and you're looking at that. That's just
a huge event.
Come on, it's one of the biggest events in the United States, and to have that not happen, that's very unfortunate.
I do remember around that time of fireworks, you'd say that when you were working for the competitor, 96 Rock, that was one of the worst days of your life on EBN fireworks.
Well, every radio station in town, which had thought of that idea back in 1977, you know. And that day, you know, WEBN ruled the airwaves that day. That ruled it.
Well, like Bob was saying, though, when I worked at 96 Rock before I came to EBN, I used to call guys on the air that day and go, hey, I'm listening to you. Because it was brutal. I mean, everybody obviously was listening to EBN.
You're that guy.
Let's let me get John in Brookville here. Hey, John, you have a Wild Man Walker story, apparently.
Yeah, he gave it away, though. Hey, about 1995, John Walton was a friend of mine. He was the PA announcer for the Reds at the time. Got me and my five-year-old son up into the booth to meet Marty and Joe. We had a great time up there visiting with them, and they're leading us out to the elevator. You guys were talking about hot mics before and things that you say when people aren't listening. Well, as I'm heading towards the elevator from the booth, I hear this familiar voice with a string of F-bombs. And we rounded the corner to the elevator, and there's Wild Man Walker coming to the elevator, and he sees my five-year-old, and his face just went sheet white.
That doesn't sound like the Wild Man Walker I know.
Well, I didn't want to burn
it. Sure it does.
I guess I didn't want to burn his ears, you know. I don't know what was I mad about. Do you remember?
I don't remember what it was, but you were super apologetic, and it was a great time, and he's heard far worse by now. So,
all right.
Really?
Thanks, John. You know, with you, it could have been anything. Yeah. Maybe they were out of Diet Coke or something. Now these hot dogs are cold.
Well, hot dogs are cold.
And then just reel off the...
Didn't have the Reds notes or something. Yeah, I couldn't.
Yep.
As usual, we're going to keep the flow going here with the John Matteries for Friday, as we always do. But now we have traffic. Rob, what is going on?
Well, things are pretty light right now, other than slow spots.
Back on the Eddie and Rocky Show, rock out today. So, you know, big shoes to fill. So I got two of my old friends, Bob the producer and Wild Man Walker, to come in.
You know what they say about a guy that has big feet, right? Or is that hands?
You don't know anything about that.
I've read about it.
So on Friday, we always talk to this guy around about this time, John Matteries, WCPO 9 News. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, great talking to you, and it's so neat that you're with a couple of my old friends back from the day when, we were young and listened to EBN, and Wild Man was up on the billboard. Wild Man, have you come down from the billboard yet?
Yes, I have come down.
He refused to come down.
29 years ago. Come Sunday.
20.
Yep.
Wow. 20. Now, you might have to go back up because we need Burrow to win a game. And Bob?
I'll get a GoFundMe page, and you can start donating $14.
And Bob, I love Bob because when I first started 20 years ago doing Don't Waste Your Money on Channel 9, he started imitating me on the radio.
It was meant as an homage, you know.
Segment where he imitated me saying, "It's a scam."
I know. Those words have stuck with me. When I first saw you, I thought, this guy is going to be a keeper.
Come on, Matteries, that made you. Come on.
He did. He started that. And then ever since then, people would stop me in the street going, "It's a scam."
It's a scam. I used to bounce around a lot to kind of like a tribute to your being animated and over the top.
To making fun of you.
Yeah,
that was quite the homage, I must say. So in honor of that, of Bob making fun of the way I say scam, I wanted to just quickly warn you guys about two scams, and we've got it on our webpage on WCPO.com today, because I did two reports with people who lost thousands of dollars. Do you like the way I said that, Bob?
They
lost
I do.
Thousands of dollars.
Scam.
This week. Yeah. And actually, you know, it is kind of sad, but this cash app, people are all using Venmo and Zelle and cash these days instead of bank accounts. Because, you know, your friend needs some money, you just Venmo it to him. Or instead of getting a check deposited from work into their bank account, people are getting them deposited into their cash app account right on their phone. And it's great. You work, you get your $1,000, bingo, it's right in your phone. You got the money to pay the rent, pay the bills. Only problem is that these scammers now know that, and they're finding all sorts of ways to get into that account on your phone and people have their money wiped out. I've now interviewed two people in the past 3 months that had like several $1,000, the whole paycheck just taken out of their account.
Damn.
And it's sad.
It is.
It's
those
sad.
Damn scammers. They're always out there. I know. They keep calling my house, too.
But, you know, John, how are they doing that?
What they do is people are actually trying to get some help with an issue. So they get on Google and they look up Cash App scam or Venmo. They look up scam. Bob, you got me going. They look up Cash App customer service or they look up Venmo customer service. Do you know what happens when you look up Venmo customer service?
What?
You're not going to find a phone number to call Venmo. You'll find a phone number to call a scammer. And that's what happens.
I was going to say, you're calling Russia or someplace.
Yeah. You're like, I need help with my Venmo. It's not working right. So I'll just Google Venmo customer service. And you find a nice number. You call the number. The guy says, yes, I Venmo. How I help you?
You have a problem with your account. It's the same guy who calls me about my Social Security number.
Right,
the Social Security number has been compromised. Please call.
He's with the IRS. Hi, I'm calling from IRS.
Exactly.
I fall for it every time.
So, you know, the problem is you call these customer service numbers for Venmo or for Cash App. You think you're dealing with them, and they're real slick. And they're like, yes, you know, I'm with Cash App, and I'm here to help you. And tell you what, we're going to resolve this little issue you had over $10. So what you need to do is just give me that Cash App login number. I'll look at it, and I'll put that $10 back in your account. You said, hey, you guys can help me. So you give them the login number, and instead of putting $10 back in your account, they take out like $2,000, like everything you had in it. It's like wiping out your bank account. Only problem, it's not the bank. There's no FDIC insurance. You got wiped out, and as Bob likes to say, to imitate me,
it's a scam.
Scammed.
Yep. So what's the other scam you got, John?
Well, the other one is a Social Security scam. So many people are getting this call. I just did a story earlier this week.
Dude, I got two the other day.
Yeah. Everybody's emailing me saying, I got this too. It's an automated call saying, this is the Department of Social Security.
Yeah.
This is about fraud involving your Social Security number. Press here to learn more. And a lot of people are like, oh, crap. Yeah. So they press, you know, one to learn more. You get a live agent. And honestly, they don't have a Russian accent. That's the thing. They're better than that these days. There's no Russian accent. They said, yes, I'm with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. We have found that your Social Security number has been compromised. It's being used in a scam right now. It's being used for theft, drug dealing, money laundering. What you need to do is...
Okay, where's the scam part?
The scam part is you give them money out of your bank account. You give them a bank account number. You know, they convince you that it's Homeland Security calling or Social Security calling. They get your bank account number, and just like with the Cash App and the Venmo, they get in there. They wipe you out. Suddenly, $2,000 gone. And I mean, I feel so bad for these people. Just this week, I interviewed two people who got ripped off several $1,000s. You know, and they want me to help them. I'm trying. But sometimes when that money is off to, you know, Russia somewhere or India or Iran, you're probably not going to get the money back.
They usually throw in final notice. And they're so persistent. I mean, I keep getting these calls all the time.
Well, you know what, John? Do we have a percentage on how many times this actually, you know, lands a punch?
I don't know.
Because, any time I get something like that, I don't even, you know what? I don't even click on, like, email stuff anymore.
Yeah. I think I talked to you a couple of weeks ago, Eddie, about the Netflix scam. You get this email from Netflix. Your Netflix account is being suspended, or there's a problem with your credit card, so we have to turn Netflix off. You know, and people are freaking out because, you know, what else is there to do these days than watch Netflix? You're not going out to a bar until 2 in the morning. You're home at 11 o'clock watching Netflix. You get an email saying they're going to shut off Netflix. You click on it. Don't do that. Netflix is not contacting you, and they're not turning you off. As Bob would say, imitating John Matarese, it's a scam.
Scam. That's it. You know, you got it down.
Hey, great talking.
Sounds just like you.
You do a great impression of yourself, by the way.
Bob imitating me. Hey, great talking to you, Dennis, and Wild Man and Bob, and great catching up with you old guys. Have a good weekend. Don't waste your money.
Nice talking to you.
Right.
So there's John Matarese, Channel 9.
He doesn't sound bitter anymore like that. I don't know if he was always amused by it or not.
I don't think. No, he was not amused. Now he thinks.
Neither was
funny.
Randy Little.
Oh my God! Back in the day, oh good Lord,
he had a case of the goo.
He did.
You kidding me? No, beyond goo.
Well, with good reason. One time it got back to me, and he might have even said it. He said, the only thing is don't ever link me up with kitty porn. So guess what my next bit was.
Ah, the good old days.
What Eddie, we got away with.
Eddie with my old boys, Wild Man Walker and Bob the producer. I believe we have Evan Melwood talking about the Tom Brenneman situation coming up. But now it's the news. News Radio 700 WLW. Back on the Eddie and Rocky show. Rock's not here today, so I called up two old buddies. Wild Man Walker, Bob the producer from the Dawn Patrol.
And we couldn't get here quick enough.
Well, now, we were both available.
Yeah, we were.
Now been renamed the Dusk Patrol.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. 4XL. What size you need, Eddie?
Check out CincyShirts.com.
What size shirt you want, Bob? Who will send you one?
I'll probably have to take an XL.
Okay.
But it's a really cool graphic, and
it is.
And I thought it was funny. And some of the proceeds are going to go to Big Brothers Big Sisters, so of Greater Cincinnati. So
that's a great
check it out. We're waiting to hear from Evan Millward, who broke the Tom Brenneman story just a little while ago. That Tom has resigned from the Reds and Fox. And you know, guys, we were talking about this earlier. the three of us did some pretty, I don't know the word for it, radio.
Yeah,
but we got away, let's put it this way, we got away with absolute murder.
Yeah, we did.
And so I have some sympathy for Tom, because, but, you know, times are different. That was 20-some years ago.
It's a different world.
It is a totally different world, and you just can't get by with that stuff anymore. And somebody brought it up. Who was he talking to off the air?
Do you know that?
I have not heard that.
Yeah, me neither.
And I'm just, because you got to investigate. If you're going to go this far with Tom, then you have to go back into who is he talking to and what's that culture like off mic and stuff. And I know this all sounds gobbledygook and, you know, PC bullcrap, but that's that is the world we live in.
Well, we know Chris Welsh was in, you know, this in the studio with Tom. Okay, so we know Chris Welsh was in there. Now, whether that conversation was between Chris and Tom or his producer.
I think it was somebody off air.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's get to the phone right now.
Crazy.
We have Evan. Evan Millward, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good,
WCPO
you?
9 News. And, Evan, so you've been really involved with Tom. What do you know about the story? You broke this just a little while ago that Tom has resigned from both Fox and the Reds. What connection have you had with Tom?
This happened last month, and I saw the video kind of go viral. And anymore, you're like, is this real? We live in the world of deepfakes.
Absolutely.
And a couple of friends of mine were like, oh yeah, we were watching and heard it. Mm-hmm. And in a moment of just kind of borderline get me fired, I tweeted, "WTF, Tom." I went to Ohio University. I've grown up knowing the Brenneman name and legacy.
Right.
And being guy like Marty and Tom, guys I look up to in broadcasting in a sense. And I was like, what just happened? What? And I've joked in the past that I had like a Mrs. Garrett moment where I went, what? Why? and I sat down, and over the course of several hours overnight, I wrote out and rewrote and deleted and wrote and rewrote and deleted this column that we published the next day that, because I kept seeing people be like, oh, he apologized. Everyone needs to calm down. It's just work. And I was like, well, tell that to the kid who got kicked out of their house because they came out, and they have nowhere to go and they've tried to kill themselves so many times. And it is a word, but it carries a lot of baggage. And it's, there's a violent history to it, and some of it I didn't even know at the time, and I'm, you know, I was like, oh, I have learned a little bit too. So I wrote it, and I talked to Willie that next day about it, and I know he was instrumental in giving my number to Tom. But Tom called me the next day. He called me the day that we published the column, and he and I talked that day. We sat down the next week at lunch for like 2 hours, and he wanted to hear my story, and he wanted to hear how I felt about it, and when I heard it, and we talked, and he had talked to some people about, okay, who do I need to reach? Like, who do I need to go talk to really get an idea of the impact that word had and has? And since then, we talk fairly regularly. I've been to a couple of meetings with him and some other folks. As a matter of fact, last week I was with him a week ago, up at the Children's Home of Northern Kentucky, which has a somewhat nationally recognized program for being a safe space for LGBTQ kids. Mm-hmm. And we were learning a little bit about that because I didn't know any of that. I was like, it's one of those moments where I'm like, how do I not know about this? I work in news. I'm a gay man who works in news. How do I not know about this? And I'm like, well, could you mind if I join you on this?
So Evan, you're in the gay community, and in talking to him, do you get the impression – because I said it when it happened, and the three of us have talked about this, and there was an old saying my dad used to have, it's too late to pray after the devil's come. Because when something like this happens to you, you go, oh, shoot, now I'm going to go, I'm a man of God.
Yeah.
See, and I'm sick of that excuse. Quite frankly, when you mess up I believe in God. Well, that doesn't excuse anything you do.
Yeah, that's one of those things that, like, sure, I know you are, but that smacks of insincerity.
Right.
It seems like, and also, there are plenty of people in the gay community and in the Christian community, even in the Catholic community, who are a little at odds with some of the overriding church belief or action when it comes to gay people. And so people hear that and you're like, oh, come on. I mean, I grew up United Methodist, and that church just had a meltdown over this issue a couple of years ago. And at a national level. And so, yeah, you hear that and you're like, oh, come on. I will say this. If I didn't believe that he was sincere in an attempt to learn and really listen to people, and he has heard a lot, I wouldn't keep working with it. Like, you know, if I sat down with that lunch and he'd been like, all right, what do you want to yell at me about? I would have been like, okay, and we're done now. but he wasn't. And I've told him this too, actually. Last Friday, I said, what this has incidentally done for me is forced me to do some learning and digging too, which has been interesting for me too. So, like, in a way, I'm like kind of getting this education out of it as well, that while he's learning, but it was important to me too that he didn't just talk to me, because I did not get kicked out of my home when I came out. I was like, I come from a position of privilege. I've had it pretty darn good.
So, Evan, the three of us have been talking here in the room about Tom's future. What do you know, and in your opinion as a broadcaster, what happens from here?
That's tough. I don't know. We saw Fox Sports with the NFL pretty immediately drop him.
Right.
And that's the Fox Network, which, and this is a weird broadcast thing, right? Fox, the network Fox, is very different from Fox Sports Ohio, which is not owned by Fox. So people, like, it's confusing. I get it. But then it was like he was in limbo here with the Reds. The Reds just sent me Bob Castellini's statement on this in saying, you know, look, we appreciate, we respect his decision. We appreciate the work we see him doing to sort of make amends on this. And obviously there's the family legacy here that he will always be part of the Reds family and Reds history. I don't know. I do think over time this will probably, there will be opportunity for him, I think. I don't see there not being. One of the first things I told him when I talked to him the day we published the column was, what I want to see is, and I think there's a huge opportunity here, I want to see him genuinely become an ally to the gay community, because I do think there is a section of the population that respects him and listens to him that were coming out when he apologized that night, and even as I, like, even after we published the column, some of the responses that, I don't know why this is a big deal, everyone needs to get over something, snowflake.
I think
that person says that and might have a little kid who's like, ah, boy, I feel different. And then they hear their parents say these things, and you've just kicked them right back into a closet and set them up for what we know is a higher chance of suicide, a higher chance of drug use, a higher chance of risky sexual activity, like all these awful statistics. And if you can have someone who in this town carries the respect of Brenneman come out and be like, wow, this has been fascinating. I want everyone to seek out queer voices like this and listen to these stories and truly listen. I think that is transformational, and that's what I want to see.
Evan, thanks so much for talking to us, buddy, and keep us posted
as far as
Tom's development goes. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Like I said, I'm learning a bunch too, and so it's I think we all have an opportunity to learn here right along with him.
Thanks, buddy. There's Evan Millward of Channel 9 News. Mm-hmm. So, hey, Tom, we'll, again, toss it out to you. Best of luck to you and your family. You messed up, man. And that's all I can say to you as talking from a guy and three guys, and I'll speak for both of you, who screwed up a bunch of times and didn't suffer like you have. But you'll get back in it, man. But now we check in with traffic. Rob, what is going on?
Oh, there's a lot going on since we last spoke. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health.
Back on the Eddie and Rocky Show, rock out today. So I've got my two good old buddies, Bob the producer and Wildman Walker from the Dawn Patrol. Today we will call it the Dusk Patrol.
Yeah. Or in my case,
we need a little Jake. We need a little Jake Isles, man. Some little Jake Isles intro, Ed.
Don't think that I ain't gonna dig that up.
Get us going.
Yeah, let's go to the phones. Hey, Donnie and Harrison, you've been holding there for a little bit. What do you got? You got a Wild Man Walker story?
Well, I've been holding for a little bit because it's worth it. I'm going to share a couple of dates real quick. My mother and I were both born on 4/14. On 4/14/63, she's 45. I have a son that was born on 4/1/92. 4/1/92, there's another good number. But back in 1980, here's another date, July the 12th, which was my anniversary. 1988, my stepbrother, Stevie B, I won't say his last name on the radio, but right. I got introduced to Wild Man at the All-Star game. You know, President Bush was there, and I'm just like, wow. And my brother, my stepbrother said, well, his name's Dennis. I said, no, it's not. That's Wild Man. Like, I'm going to close this up real quick. So got to spend a little time on the rail game. But that night and after the All-Star game, I went up to the old bar Red Fox Lounge in Western Hills.
Oh, yeah, the Red Fox.
Yeah, and Mr. Wild Man was holding court. And I walked in. Long story short, he puts his arm around me and – my name's Donnie, and he says, let's go get some chili, man. I found myself in the Pete Rose memorabilia capital of the world, the Dodge Duster. And Wild Man gave me, there's ball, baseball signed by Pete rolling around everywhere. He gave me one, and it sits on my mantle in my man cave to this day. So, Wild Man, what a great memory and loving hearing you today.
So I think we went to that Skyline Chili there, right there on Glenway?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Now, you said he gave it to you. He didn't sell it to you, right?
No, you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll get a bill. Thanks, Donnie.
The mail is slow.
But now, back in the day, we had so much fun doing the show, and one of my favorite memories, and I don't know if you guys remember this, it was and Jim Scott.
Yes,
he had somebody brought him a birthday cake, a big sheet birthday cake. Do you remember this story?
Yes, I do.
And we happen to have these dancer ladies in the studio. And so, and again, things were, this just, it goes to show you how different things were.
Yeah. Times have changed.
So I had one of you guys go steal that cake. And we brought it in the studio and set it on the counter and asked the ladies to wrestle in it.
Yeah.
Which they did.
They gladly obliged.
And so they're without clothing. And one of our sales guys, a lovely man named Arun from India, decides that it's a great idea to walk these ladies through the lobby back to our general manager's office where there was a shower.
There's a shower, yeah.
That didn't go over well. And they're like yelling at me and was like, I didn't do it.
You had nothing to do with it. You were an innocent bystander.
Was Jackie the GM?
Yeah, that was Jackie. Yeah. Oh my God, had the shower in her, right. in her office.
No, she didn't catch those girls in there showering off the cake, did she?
Well, that's, you know, with Jackie, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you, the workplace has changed. It's all nuts now. You know, you really, honest to God, can't get by with anything. Mm-mm. And, I mean, our workplace was a lot different than a lot of other people's workplaces. I get that part. But they just gave us free rein and
turned. Our listeners loved it.
And turned their head.
Yep.
And that's the reason that was such a big deal.
Listeners loved it.
Not sure
necessarily
did.
All of our family.
Well, hopefully. We're going to be talking movies coming up.
Wemma jammin'!
We're talking movies.
The great live albums of all time.
Full House Live, baby. But now it's the news. News Radio 700 WLW. Back on the Eddie and Rocky show, Rock not here today, so I've got my old friends Wild Man Walker and Bob the producer here. We're going to talk movies as we always do on Friday right now with Kevin Carr. Kevin, is there anything? The movie business is going bust right now, man. This is tough. You're talking about the theater business.
You're right. That's a great way to correct it, because it's really not movies and the studios that are having the problems, although they are, because they really can't release the big stuff in the theaters. But it's the theaters that are really feeling the pinch, because they've got nothing to fall back on. There are some independent theaters that will run some shows, and they've got movies, and they'll like show stuff. Like one of the ways some small independent theaters works is they'll like show like football games, and you can pay it, sometimes it's free to get in, and they make their money on concessions. But even that stuff's going to be restricted, so you're still restricted on the number of people you can have in the theaters. And then when Tenet came out and was not the panacea and the return to cinema that everybody was expecting, everybody got spooked, and the studios, even Disney in particular, took all of their titles and just shoved them down the line. I mean, Black Widow is put into next summer. West Side Story's thrown into next Christmas. You've got Death on the Nile that was supposed to come out this next month. It got pushed to December. The only one that's staying there is Soul, sitting in that right before Thanksgiving time slot. And who knows what's going to happen with that. They might do some sort of hybrid online and in theaters release, because they want to be able to recoup some of their money. But when you go online, that kind of leaves the theaters high and dry.
So is there anything out right now that worth seeing?
Well, there's a couple of things that are new in the theaters. There's one I'll just mention. I really don't know much about it. It's called Shortcut, and it's a small horror film about these kids on a bus that takes a shortcut and gets caught and ends up, there's like a monster or something in the woods. I don't know much about it. It literally just dropped in the schedule a couple days ago, and I think it's because the studios, the smaller studios, realize that there's openings there that they can fill. So that one's out there if you're a horror movie fan. There's also one called Kajillionaire, which is an independent film, and it's a quirky, weird sort of story about this strange family, these grifters. And when I say grifters, they're not knocking over a casino. They're basically, getting whatever scam they can to get $5 or $10 or $20. So they're really bottom feeders. And they're very strange people who live on the outskirts of society, but right in the middle of it. And it's a father and a mother and a daughter. And then they meet this other woman who wants to become part of their gang. And that kind of messes things up and changes the dynamic and reveals some unfortunate things about the family. And it's just how they work together and how they interact. I was not a big fan of this, but it reminds me of those independent films they had in the 90s. So if you like that sort of thing, that's available in theaters as well.
All right. And what about Misbehavior?
Yeah, Misbehavior, or Misbehavior, it has a U in it, so you know it's British.
Oh.
This one, I believe this is just on demand, but you might be able to find it in select theaters. It takes place in 1970. It stars Keira Knightley as a woman who gets connected with this group of feminist activists, and they want to disrupt the Miss World pageant in London in 1970. It's actually based on a true story. This stuff really happened, and Bob Hope was the host. And what's interesting about it is it's this weird look back at 50 years ago, because, to me, beauty pageants are kind of a thing of the past. At least I've always, I don't even think about them anymore, because, there's so much other things to watch. But this was at a time where this stuff was like bigger than the World Cup finals and bigger than the moon landing. So it is a strange look in the past of, clearly, this stuff is sexist and misogynistic, and people are denying it, but it totally is. And sort of like the sexual or the more or less the feminist movement in London at the time. And it just seems so silly from 50 years down the road, and thinking, I can't even name who Miss America is right now.
All right, Kevin, with that, we'll let you go. If people want to find out more, where can they go? What can they do?
Just go to fatguysatthemovies.com.
Thanks, buddy. So I'm here with Bob, the producer, and Wild Man Walker.
When's the last time you were in a movie theater, Ed?
You know what? The only time I ever went to the movie theater was with my boys.
Yeah.
And I think you guys can both relate to that. I mean, have you taken your grandkids, Bob, to a movie theater? I mean, before all this starts.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Because I'm not a big go-to-the-movie guy, but with my boys, every time a Marvel movie came out, that was, you know, that was first three-day thing that they wanted to see Spider-Man or Guardians or whatever it was.
They'd like Marvel over DC.
So talking about DC, come on, don't get me started. But we're talking old memories here from the three of us. Bob, some of the stuff that I remember about you. Let me ask you, what's your favorite movie or your favorite memory of the Dawn Patrol from back in the day? I mean, give me you don't have to give your best memory, but something that really sticks out in your mind.
My favorite memory of the Dawn Patrol. There's been a lot. I guess some of the people we got to meet, right?
Well, we did meet some seriously cool people.
Sam Kinison.
Well, Wild, how about you? Because you met a lot of sports guys. You got to meet a ton of people.
Oh, Pete Rose. Well, I mean, we had Pete Rose on a number of times.
Right.
I think the one time when we had him on live where he apologized to me.
Yeah. I was slack. My jaw was open.
I remember that. What did he? Yeah. I forget what he apologized for.
For not coming, clean,
that's right.
And I kind of and I said, don't worry about it, man.
He was in the studio with us. He said, you've backed me the whole time.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And I also remember the time when we had Farrah Fawcett on the line.
Yes.
And I was a big Farrah Fawcett fan. And you said, Farrah, our sports guy here is a really big fan. He thinks the world of you. And I just want to ask you, would you say, I love you, Wild Man? And she says, I love you, Wild Man.
Now, do you have it on tape somewhere that you play over?
I'm sure he does. That's probably what it's answering machine.
All those sound bites, I could not get out of here when we left. And I had somebody working on it. I couldn't get all those sound bites. But I about fell out of the chair when she said that.
My favorite memory with you guys is...
I got one more real quick.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Whenever Kentucky would play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And this is in my book, too. When Kentucky would play basketball and they would lose, and you know how it would just rag on the Wildcats, and I'd have a baby crying in the back. Well, Kentucky fans would call you guys in the studio and bellyache and complain. Right. And you guys
get their
deal.
And I'd bitch at you.
They didn't know my number. They didn't know my extension. So you guys dealt with it really well. But it was so funny because I'd come in and you'd just say, damn it, Wild Man, we must have 20 calls already. Right. Everybody complaining about you getting on the Wildcats.
But my favorite memory with you guys is when I did the fake interview with the fake William Shatner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was amazing because you were obviously in on it and Joel Moss.
There were only three people in on it.
Right.
And you guys were mad at me because I didn't tell you, but everybody had to not be involved. So you would freak out.
It was great. And we were freaking. We were sitting there, and I was kind of looking. I was looking in next door to, I think, to Rick Bird.
No, that was, Bill Banger.
Bill Banger. And I'm just kind of looking. I was like, what? And you, accused?
I basically accused him of killing his wife.
Yes.
And it was this fake guy who did a great William Shatner.
Oh, he was great.
He did.
Right. He was great. And
looking around at each other, looking at you.
It was right after William Shatner's wife had unfortunately died, drowned.
Right.
And so we had already set this up with this guy I slowly escalated the interview to first I said, you singing, come on, man, that sucks.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I tried. And then escalated and escalated and escalated. Until I finally basically said, well, your wife, I basically got the impression that everything but your foot was on her head.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
In the pool. And if you've never seen five or six more people more horrified staring at me than the crew on the Dawn Patrol that morning.
We were so uncomfortable that I was trying not to even laugh or anything because I didn't want... And I said I was looking...
I didn't believe what I was hearing. I really didn't.
And so I was like, and he was like, whoa, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, thanks for talking to us, click.
Yeah.
And I was like, I forget who was doing traffic for us then. It might have been John. And they're like, okay, traffic. And let's say it was John, was even like, Okay.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. And we got, I got so many calls during that commercial break. I had to come in the middle of the commercial break and say, that was a joke.
Yep.
Right.
They were calling for your head.
Oh, big time. It was very ugly.
I'd almost forgotten about that.
Good times, Rob.
Yeah, I'll never forget the, was it Jim Scott's birthday when you guys had the strippers in and they came and placed their chests?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you were talking about earlier?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah. And they ended up wrestling again.
And the funny thing is, that was not unusual.
Well,
I think Jim ended up dating one of the strippers.
That's true. He ran off with her to Vegas. He hasn't been seen since.
That's why he retired.
Yes.
From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health.
Back with the Eddie Wildman and Bob, the producer. So you guys, coming up here at the top of the hour. Now, you guys are both West Siders.
Yep.
No, I'm an East Side guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You grew up in Beachmont Ave.
Yeah, when it was a two-lane road.
But you,
before briefly, Marty Brenahan even moved in that area.
You briefly lived on the West Side.
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I lived off on Tuxworth.
Yeah.
But coming up here after the top of the hour, we're going to talk about no matter where you live, what part of town, what part of the state you live in, what part of a state you live in, food places you miss.
Okay.
All right. And we'll get to that after the top of the hour. 7497000. 800, the big one, #700 on AT&T. But right now. Back on the Eddie and Rocky Show, my good friends are stepping in for Rocky. Bob the producer, Wild Man Walker, my old partners on the Dawn Patrol for many years.
So many people are listening, and I'm telling you that, man, because my phone blew up when I was able to turn it back on because I've had it in airplane mode. My nephew is on his way to Louisville, of all things we were talking about, for his friend's bachelor's party. So we're listening in. Said, wish me a happy birthday. I said, okay, happy birthday, John.
Ask him how the bachelor party went afterwards.
Oh, knowing him and his buddies, they might end up in the Louisville jail.
Enough said.
Yeah.
So, you guys, we were talking about places that you miss as far as restaurants go. You know, you guys are both Cincinnatans.
Yep. West Side. Now, one of them that comes to mind when I was thinking about when you brought this question up, and that it wasn't like it was a fast food place. It was on the West Side, Sandy's.
I know you're talking about Sandy's Hamburgers.
Yeah.
Because you and I have talked about that before. There was a Sandy's near my house in Dayton.
Oh, yeah? Same owners, you think?
Yeah. I don't know if it was the same owners, but nonetheless, the same concept. And
I always liked the Sandy's High-Low.
Me too.
The High-Low.
The High-Low.
Hell yeah. Absolutely.
And I ran a putt-putt golf course out on Beachmont Avenue. There was a Sandy's right in front of the putt-putt golf course. So it was like, all right, and we had some young guys that would would do stuff on the course to play for free, and they would run. I'd go get me some, come get me a High-Low, and they'd run up and get a High-Low. High-Low, order of fries and a Coke.
High-Low was a double. It had lots of onions, which I love. And they, stopped?
I was going to say, the Sandy's Hamburger was basically a big White Castle.
Yeah.
There were lots of onions on
it. It was good.
It was damn good.
It was. Now, after they closed, they used to have those burgers, the family that owned it, at Our Lady of Lourdes.
Yeah, that's right. They used to do that.
Festival.
Yeah.
And you could buy them there.
Yeah, what's there now? A car dealership or something there on the corner there at Glenway?
I think so.
Yeah. The one I got, Ed, for you, Chili Company. Chili Company.
Yeah.
Nothing better, man. A late night getting all liquored up at the Blue Note and coming down to 6th Street and going there, the double deckers. And the chili was great. I missed the chili company.
I didn't
company.
Have lunch.
And there was a chili company in Oakley. There was one there.
There was one in Oakley. That was right down the street from where I used to live.
Yeah. And if I was over there, you know, raising cane to the wee hours, we'd stumble in there and eat a chili company.
But the one we're talking about right now that got me started on this topic is the Sky Galley.
Oh, yeah.
At Lunkin Airport. Now, if you've, and not a lot of people listening right now have been, but if you are around that area, it's a cool little place. Now, no matter where you live, I don't care if you live in Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, it doesn't matter. We all have places that that closed and you go, where in the hell did that go? You know, and that's sad. Go to the Sky Galley. I know Kirby, the owner, and he was brokenhearted that this thing had to close. But, you know, because of what's going on right now,
right,
he couldn't withstand it anymore.
And it had a theme, right? Of like, it was right by the airport.
But that's what I'm saying. It was right there at Lunkin Airport.
You could see the planes land, I'm told.
That's what I'm saying. You could sit there. It was like, you know, you could watch the, it was a great place to take kids.
Yep.
Because then that's what we used to do with the kids. Take the boys there, and when they're even, I don't care if they're 4 and 2, which basically they were, they'd stare out the window, eat their, you know,
chicken fingers.
Their chicken fingers or whatnot, and watch the planes land.
And that's a lot cheaper than taking them to Disney World, right?
That's a hell of a lot cheaper, believe me. But places you miss, 749-7800, the big one.
Got another one for you, Ed. Pounce. Burger Chef.
I was going to say Burger Chef.
The Super Chef, the Whaler.
I was a frequent.
I love Burger Chef. Me too. Burger Chef and Jeff.
Pound 700 on AT&T. Because I'm trying to think of some of the places. I mean, you know, shout out to my Dayton people. Is there was a place called Dominic's.
Oh, yeah.
There, I believe that was on Main Street, right across the street from the fairgrounds. And that was one of the few. And it was awesome. And I think they had problems in family, and they finally closed it down. But it was one of the few places on the weekend, I know. They were open until like 3 or 4 in the morning.
It was Dominic's Pizza, right?
No, it was a nice Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah?
There was a burger place out in Beachmont when we first moved out there in 59 called the Golden Point. They had everything. It was locally, you know, locally owned. It stayed open probably till like the mid-70s, and then you finally closed. But they had great food there, too. The Golden Point. Mm. Right there across from McLehart Mary Church, right across the street.
Let's talk to some people about it. Taking your calls right now. Hey, Bill, you're first up. What do you have?
Well, first of all, this is like a trip to the past for me. I just love hearing you three together.
Oh, that's great.
It's
thanks,
really
man.
Been a great day. Hey, I got a couple. Zantigo.
I ended
up getting bought out by Taco Bell, but they were great. Cheap burritos and tacos. Great stuff. And then Zeno's over in Hyde Park. I'm sure you guys used to go there when you were when you were working over in that area. Great place. No,
Zeno's for sure. The Zenover, come on, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The pizza was awesome.
And Zantigo's, too. I love
it. You couldn't defeat that stuff. Who do we have here? I believe we have Gabby. What's going on, Gabby?
Hey, I hope nothing. I'm sitting here comfortably listening to you guys. Okay, let me tell you one thing. I don't think you guys have ever heard of this place because it's down in Florida. Back in the late 50s and early 60s, I grew up part of my life in Venezuela. Venezuela, which is going through a hellstorm now, government-wise, it was nothing like that before. And what we would do, my father used to work for the Gulf Oil Company. What we would do each summer, we would come to Miami, take a trip from Caracas to Miami, and we stay there at this one hotel. And then also, there is a place there, right there close to downtown Miami area. It was called Royal Castle.
Oh, you
that
know what?
Not-
Royal? Huh?
Gabby, thanks. You know what? I think there was a Royal Castle in Dayton. I'm not kidding about that.
There was a White Tower in Toledo.
White Tower. White there was, that was in Dayton as well.
There was a White Castle.
Pulled on the White Tower a few times, Ed, getting all liquored up.
Hey, Josh in Batavia, what do you have, buddy?
Hey, you guys were talking about the Sky Galley before. I don't know if you knew this, but this is back in the, you guys are probably too young, but back in the late 50s, early 60s, there was a notorious murder that occurred here, and the lady that committed it, her name was Edith Klump. She worked at the Sky Galley.
I remember that trial.
Oh, yeah, I remember that
remember
trial.
Remember Edith Klump?
I do not remember that.
I remember her. I didn't know she worked
did
at the
Sky
Galley.
Did she go to the electric chair?
No, the governor, whoever the governor of Ohio was at the time, he commuted a sentence.
Okay.
Thanks, Josh.
Edith Klump.
Yeah, I remember her.
And that was a big story.
Yeah.
Hey, Michelle in Gulf Manor, what do you got? Talking about restaurants that closed.
Oh, yes. Two of them for me. The Windjammer
When I was in high school, I had some proms there. They had this Cherry's Jubilee. They'd catch them on fire. And, I mean, just a great place. And then later, for me, it was the fore and aft.
Oh, yeah.
That's in South Park.
On the river.
Windjammer had great food. I just remember that big old ship. You couldn't miss it.
And thanks, Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when I was driving through town coming down from Dade. We always used to drive by there.
You couldn't miss it.
And I was like, I want to go to that place.
I know.
What was the name of the restaurant that was the caboose? That was the caboose, the red caboose.
Trolley Tavern, right?
No.
It was, I'll think of it. The Eddie and Rocky Show. I'm here with my good friends replacing Rocky for the day. Bob the Producer and Wild Man Walker. We're talking about restaurants you miss. And there are a ton of them. Let's get right to it. Hey, Scott and Indy, what's going on, buddy? What do you miss?
Yes, sir, Eddie. How are you guys doing today? I think I called you before. You doing okay?
We're doing great, man.
Ooh, got two of them for you. I think I called one through four. Casey's was one of them. Kind of like a spinoff, like the Wendy's, I think, came afterwards.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then the other one was Arthur Treacher's.
Oh, yeah, Arthur Treacher's.
Arthur Treacher's ruled, man.
Yeah. And I got a comment afterwards. I'll make it real quick. Arthur Treacher's, they're still down in Myrtle Beach, I believe. And then just wanted to let you know, Eddie, you got to get my number from your producer. Give me a call anytime because I'll give you the updates on what's going on up here in Indianapolis because I frequent World Cities, being from Cincinnati. So just a little pet peeve, but Arthur Treacher's, you can't go wrong. Every time we go down to Myrtle Beach, I make sure I hit him.
You're on, Scott. Thanks, buddy. See, one of the original Arthur Treacher's was not too far from my house.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was a kid, and we used to go there and get that, like, that was one of those Friday things where everybody got a, you know, and they wrapped it in that fake England, like London Times or whatever. Hey, Jamie, thanks for holding there in Milford. What do you have?
These are some old supper clubs, if anybody remembers.
Bring it.
If I remember, the Golden Rooster.
Yeah, I do.
That was at the corner of Beachmont and, I believe, Markley.
Exactly.
My grandmother and grandfather worked there, and my godfather. Does anybody remember Ronnie Dale?
Of course. He used to play the organ at Reds games.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Supposedly he's the one that came up with da-da-da-da-da-da, charge.
Really?
He was.
Yeah.
He was. And then after that shut down, they moved to a place over on Mount Carmel.
Tabasco Road, yes.
No, Old 74.
Yeah, Old 74, yeah.
Yep. Them were supper clubs back in that day. I was just a little kid, but I remember it.
Great.
And thanks, buddy.
Eddie, I got to quickly get to, before we forget, Roy Rogers, roast beef. At one time, there was like five of them in town. Okay.
And then
they dwindled down to just one in Mount Carmel. And then they got into a dispute with Roy Rogers up on the East Coast, which doesn't serve the roast beef that they serve here. So they lost the franchise. They changed the name over to Roney's. They moved from Mount Carmel to Milford.
I know exactly where it's at.
And I eat for free there lifetime.
Wasn't there one on Beachmont?
Let's go to...
No, never. There was an
art. Is it Corey and Morrow? What do you have, buddy?
How we doing, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, Big Top in Mason.
What was that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Big Top in Mason.
Big Top.
Big Top. I don't remember Big Top.
I don't.
It was right there on Route 42 in Snyder, I believe it was.
Big Top.
No, but thanks, Corey. That's one that got by me.
Was it fast food?
You mentioned the roast beef place. There was at one time on Beachmont Avenue back in the day, there was three roast beef places. The first one was Heat Big Beef, which is now Montgomery Cyclery. Then there was Jack's. Then there was Arby's.
Okay.
Now the only one left standing is the Arby's.
Hey, Chuck, what's going on with you? Talking about food places you miss.
Well, Wild Man's already said everything I was going to mention.
Well, sorry.
You can go ahead and say it again.
Well, which was your all-time favorite?
Oh, Burger Ship, by far.
Yeah,
Burger Ship.
Roy Rogers had the best roast beef.
Well, they still do. The one in Milford.
And they had some killer fried chicken. I used to go there for fried chicken, man.
The hamburgers.
Thanks, Chuck.
The food hasn't changed, Ed.
Let's talk to Bobby on the west side. Bobby, what is going on?
Gentlemen, absolute pleasure to speak to you.
Pleasure.
Growing up, it was a big time to go to Po' Folks with the family.
Yeah.
and drink out of jars and get a moon pie, and that was it for me.
Those were the days.
Po-folks, yeah.
That's you know, I don't think if I ever ate a Po-folks.
Po-folks, you've seen them, but you didn't go
remember
in.
The Hitching right. Post, the Hitching Post chicken?
Yeah. Now, that's still no, there, I but it's a different
I used to live right down the street from one there in Oakley. That well, place, unfortunately, closed.
Well, I was bummed out, Ed, because I was keeping them in business with DoorDash. I'd get fried chicken and their coleslaw and their chocolate cream pie. I was bummed out when they closed it up.
I was regular there.
They just closed
it up. Well, we went there, and we'd go there for breakfast
for
a long time.
Yeah, well, there was a Hitching Post on Beachmont at one time. We stayed there for dinner on Sundays.
The best potato pancakes you'd ever put in your
mouth. There you go. And like you said, the pies. Now, there's one that's still there, but it's under, I think it's got the same family, but it's called Ron's Roost now. But it used to be Hitching Post.
Yes.
On Race.
All right, we're going
to miss that place.
We're going to be talking to John Matarese coming up.
So, what's your all-time favorite restaurant, Ed, that you miss?
You know what? You said it earlier. Burger Chef, I loved, but when I was talking about here in town, there was a place on Montgomery Road. Well, I forget what it was called.
Montgomery Inn?
Not. It's still there. But there was a place on Montgomery Road, and I'll think of it later.
What? No, it wasn't Chili Company, right?
No. It was a, you know, they had the big giant salad bar and stuff, and I'm going to have to revisit and rethink it.
But those other days.
Oh, there's a bunch of them. I mean, somebody mentioned earlier Victoria Station. I always love that place.
Yeah, me too.
That was cool. Any place with a giant salad bar where you can go and get yourself a slice of meat. And make yourself a giant salad. I was
a
baked potato. I was down, man.
Like Golden Corral.
All right, coming up, we got John Matarese, but now it is our news. News Radio 700 WLW.